This is Evangelist George McTyre of the Word of God Ministry, and I want to give you a little heads up on something here. At the start of the lesson here, I will be mentioning two different dates. One will be the date that the message was first published, and the second date will be the date that the message was transcribed, if you will, to audio. The reason why I'm giving you the dates is because during the reading of this message, I might make mention of some people, places, things, or events that were relevant at the time that the message was first published, which may or may not be relevant for today. And if that is the case, if I can remember, I'll try to give you a heads up on it. However, let me say this. When it comes down to the Word of God, His word is always relevant yesterday, today, and forever. It never ceases to be relevant. And those of you that are exposed to it would do well to take heed to it and to adjust your lives accordingly. Our message for this session is a message that was first published back in the month of March of the year 2007. And it's being put on audio in the month of January of the year 2025. And our subject scripture is taken from the book of Galatians, chapter number 1 and verse number 8. And if you have the scripture available, you will find these words recorded. The Apostle Paul is speaking, or he writes, he says, "But though we, or an angel from heaven, preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed." The title for this message is A Message to the Church. In this country, we have religious freedom, meaning everyone has the right to believe what they want to believe and practice it. You have the absolute right to practice your beliefs as long as they do not infringe on the rights of others. That is what this nation was founded on, as stated in the very First Amendment of the U.S. Constitution. It states, "Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of religion, or prohibiting the free exercise thereof." So as you can see, I am aware of what is what. Now, having said that, I would like to ask you a question, and it is this. Can we agree to disagree? If your answer is yes, then good, and please read on. If, on the other hand, the answer is no, then would you at least read this article a little further, and then if you see I am saying something that totally offends you, then stop. If the beginning of this message looks familiar, it is because I used it in the last 2 months when I was addressing the Jehovah's Witnesses and the Catholics. Now, as much as I support those that have put their faith in Jesus Christ, there are some things that I need to address when, because of a lack of knowledge on the part of the laity or the congregation, due to the misdirection of the leadership, you are essentially violating what God says. Notice the subject, Scripture. It gives a direct, specific direction and warning as to what the position of the Christian should be, not only to those that come to them from the outside of, but also those that come to them from inside of the church. Now, my position today, as it has always been, is that the number one reason for the church not being what it should be is the leadership of the churches in this nation. Not all, but most. Most churches today are not really churches, as the Bible says a church is, as the body of Christ with Him as the head, but rather it is a body of believers in the ideology of humanism, where man is God in himself and is therefore equal to God. What does this mean? It means that any problems that we face in life can be solved by us. Why? Because all of us have God in us. Now, what is the difference between the two? While one puts their faith, their total faith in Jesus Christ and the solutions that He gives us for our problems, the other puts their faith in themselves or some other man and the solutions that they come up with. The term gospel means good news. And if you will notice, the apostle says, "But though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel or good news unto you than that which we have preached unto you," meaning any other message that sounds like good news or is good news in our worldly way of thinking, we need to run from it and them as we would run from a charging lion. Notice also that Paul says that if he or any other of the apostles or an angel from heaven changed the message that was first preached to them, then he or they should be treated the same way. So what is the problem? It is the leadership has never preached a true message of Christ to the congregation in the first place, and as such, they don't recognize a Burger King gospel from the real thing, and as such, are totally ignorant of what the leadership is saying and doing. Example of what I am talking about. Leadership in a lot of churches spend the majority of their time blaming individuals for the problems of our society rather than the fact that God has warned of the problems that we will face in the last days before Christ comes to take his church out of the world. What this does is it gets the people to look to some other person or group of persons to solve the problem that only God through Jesus Christ can solve, if they are to be solved at all. Mind you, there are certain things that are happening that God has predicted would happen, and there is nothing that you or I can do about it because it is part of God's will for this planet. Global warming. We are being told by just about all areas of society that the earth is increasingly warming up. And as a result, we are seeing all sorts of violent storms which are destroying all sorts of wildlife, human lives, and just wreaking havoc around the world. And that the cause of this is George Bush and the Republicans. Now, mind you, this is what I had down for the year 2007. So, you know, we've come quite a ways from then. So they aren't blaming George Bush now, but they probably going to switch to Donald Trump. Anyway, we are being told that we need to elect Democrats so that they can put forth an agenda that will, in the future, stem the tide of this problem for future generations. This is man's gospel. Christ's message to us is that in the days just prior to his removal of the church out of this world, in Matthew chapter 24, verses 6 through 8, he says this: "And you shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that you be not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom. And there shall be famines and pestilences and earthquakes in divers places. All these are the beginning of sorrows." Then Then we'll follow what was found in is this in 2 Timothy chapter 3 verses 1 through 5. It says, "This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying the power thereof. From such turn away." Then we have the great tribulation period, Matthew chapter 24 verses number 21 through 27. It says, "For then shall be great tribulation, such as was not since the beginning of the world to this time, no, nor ever shall be. And except those days should be shortened, there should no flesh be saved. But for the elect's sake, those days shall be shortened. Then if any man shall say unto you, 'Lo, here is Christ,' or 'there,' believe it not. For there shall arise false Christs and false prophets, and shall show great signs and wonders, insomuch that if it were possible, they would or shall deceive even the very elect. Behold, I have told you before. Wherefore, if they shall say unto you, 'Behold, he is in the desert,' go not forth. 'Behold, he is in the secret chambers,' believe it not. For as the lightning cometh out of the east and shineth even unto the west, so shall the coming of the Son of Man be. There will be wars, famines, breakdowns in society as well as the family, diseases that man has never seen before, that can't be cured, and a myriad of other things that will end with the burning up of the world as we know it. The gospel, the good news, that we won't have to be here to suffer through it. That's the good news. But the only way to escape it is if we are saved when Christ comes to remove the saved. Or the church from the world. The message from the pulpits of most churches, especially in the black community, is to pursue the first solution. Get rid of Bush and the Republicans. Replace them with Democrats and things will get better. No mention of God's judgment or plan for this earth. No mention of the need to get saved. No mention of what happens to those that go against what God says. No nothing unless it condemns the Republicans and lifts or exalts the Democrats. This is the essence of the gospel of humanism. Remember the scripture I read just a few minutes ago where it says, "Where men shall be lovers of their own selves, proud and heady and high-minded." That's basically what you got going here with the conditions that are going to be in the world. Now, this is the essence of the gospel of humanism, like I said. Then we have preachers in the black community, especially, who don't know what they are doing. The Bible tells us that Jesus is the answer to all our problems. But what do these preachers do when problems arise? Instead of leading their people to the cross of Christ, they turn to the Nation of Islam. What does this say about Christ and his message? It says Christ is not sufficient for the black community. We need our own Savior, Muhammad. Then we wonder why the black community is suffering so much in this nation. As one black leader once remarked, when the nation gets a cold, the black community gets pneumonia. That was penned by the former mayor of the city of Detroit, the late Coleman Alexander Young. According to every, and I do mean every, statistic in this nation, when it comes to negatives, the black community ranks at the top of the list. When it comes to positives, we and our cities are dead last. I have noticed this as well. Blacks coming here from other countries tend to prosper far more quickly than blacks that are born and raised in this nation. Do you know why that is? Because they haven't been morally or spiritually contaminated with the garbage that comes from the pulpits of this nation's black churches. What is that? Black church. You see, we even want to make Jesus seem to be in on the racial problems in this nation. Anyway, as I am writing this, there is a big event coming in February 25, 2007, and judging from the information I am getting, a lot of Christians are getting tickets for this big event. Preachers are talking about it on the radio and from their pulpits. So what do you think it is? A revival? No. How about some famous preacher holding a meeting? No. What it is the Honorable Louis Farrakhan of the Nation of Islam supposedly coming here to make what is billed as his last major public appearance. Now, I don't mean any disrespect to the man, but the message he will be delivering, if it is anything like his other messages, is one that challenges the black community with the foolishness that they are involved in and turn to God. Now, that message is right on, but there is a problem. The message he is delivering is one that the preachers in the black community or in the black churches should be delivering. Every black preacher in those churches should be taking the lead in attacking the foolishness that goes on, not only in the community, but in their churches. But they don't. You know why? Because they are either totally blind to the problem, or they are part of the problem. You have people in the choir and on the usher board sleeping with one another, and sometimes the pastor. The church is running people to casinos downtown and in Las Vegas and Atlantic City. You've got women coming to church with clothing that essentially is designed to draw the attention of the men. You can see the choir and the other performers dancing and shaking their behinds like Beyoncé, and the preacher is sitting up there getting a good look and grinning from ear to ear. And you think people seeing all of this in the church really want that man telling them what they need to straighten out their act? I certainly wouldn't. So what is the alternative? The Nation of Islam. One thing I will say about them is that they don't take part in all that type of foolishness. The women dress decently, and you can't hardly see their figures. The men are usually neatly dressed and well behaved. Their houses are usually well kept. The kids are very well behaved. All of this is what should be coming from the Christians. But the church is fumbling the ball. And as a result, many Christians and some preachers are joining the Nation of Islam because the church isn't showing them anything worth staying in it for. The Bible says the church should be the head and not the tail. It should be above and not beneath. But thanks to these preachers, the opposite is true. Look at the Million Man March. Look at the other major marches that blacks have flocked to and consistently talk about. All of them have been led by the Nation of Islam, with the church being the followers. Nobody wants to follow a loser. And these preachers are presenting Christ as being a loser because their churches are losers. If one of the few preachers in the black community that stand on the Word of God, like myself and others, speak out about the same things that Minister Farrakhan speaks out about, these same preachers want to discredit us. Do you see the foolishness that is going on here? And believe me, if I can see it, you know Christ sees it. And he is not pleased. And if he is not pleased, then woe unto those that have corrupted the people. Remember these words, but though we or any angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. If we don't curse them, then we will be cursed right along with them. Well, that's the end of the message for this session, and I hope you can see where our major problems lie. It doesn't lie so much with the Democratic Party. It doesn't lie so much with the gay community. It doesn't lie with the Planned Parenthood group, those that are pro-abortion, pro-choice, or any of those other groups. The problem, or the main problem that is the cause for what we're having to be facing in the black community and this nation, is all the responsibility of the church. Period. I put a saying together. I've heard it before, but it's like second nature to me to bring it up, and that is, as goes the church, so goes the nation, and so goes the community. And if you got a church that ain't worth 2 cents, then the community isn't going to be worth 2 cents. Because if the church ain't doing what it's supposed to do, God is not pleased with it. It's not going to have the Holy Ghost leading it or doing anything in it, you know, doing any miracles or anything else like that in the church. So the only thing people are going to be able to do is just come to the church, listen to a man speak, listen to the choir sing, and maybe watch some kind of entertainment show or something like that, supposedly passing for revival or whatever. But that's about it. The church needs to get on the path that it's supposed to be on, that God says it's supposed to be on, to start dealing with these issues. And the main thing that God wants them to deal with them about is the fact that they need to get back to Him, so that He can deliver them. As long as they want to stay out and mingle with the world and use all the world's and follow all the world's advice and use the tools that the world uses and use the solutions and so forth that the world uses, God's not going to lift His hand to help anybody. They're just going to be out there on their own. Oh, they might still get to heaven, but I'm going to tell you one thing, they're going to get there a lot earlier than they would if they were doing what they're supposed to be doing. And that could be the fact, if they get there at all. Because some people, like I said, I've known some people that have left the church and gone into Islam. Well, see, once you leave the church, depending on the circumstances, that's like forfeiting your salvation. That's why it's one of the bad things that we have about some churches is they preach this idea of once you're saved, you're always saved. See, if that were true, then what that would mean is that you could get saved and then go out here and involve yourself in all manner of ungodliness and doing everything that you felt like doing and still end up going to heaven. Even so much so that if you, even suppose you left the church and joined the something like the Church of Satan, and now you gonna think that, well, since you saved, you gonna go to heaven anyway, but you gonna live your life in service to the devil. You think you gonna get into heaven then? Oh no, not hardly. But like I say, God might remove you out of this earth before you get that far gone, but you know that possibility is there. So the church needs to straighten up its act, because there's souls out here dying every minute, heading into hell, and they could have been saved if it wasn't for the fact that there was a Christian or a church that the person listened to and didn't hear anything telling them that they needed to repent and turn from their wicked ways, and they thought they were all right with God. And they drew that last breath, and now they're in hell, and they realize they're in there for eternity. So that's something for you to think about. Well, this is Evangelist George McTyre closing this message out today. As usual, for saying to you and your family, may God bless you and your family until we get together again for another message from the Word of God. Good day.